Congratulations to Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Cool and the Gang.
Yes.
How about that? Cool and the Gang, Dave Matthews Band, Mary J. Blige, Cher, Foreigner, and somebody else. I mean, there's these classes in the Hall of Fame.
A Tribe Called Quest?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Come on now.
Represent, represent.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at you, Whitey. Okay. You're impressing me there. A little represent, represent. Okay. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. How can I? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just it's an odd class, but Cool and the Gang.
Well deserved.
To see them get their recognition.
Yes. Cool and the Gang. I mean, for me, growing up, you know, I was born in 75, so late 70s, early 80s, like parents, that's all they played. Mm-hmm. You know, Misled, you know, that was a classic as well. And so, no, this is a great class, I think.
Yeah. I saw something last night. I know I was telling you and Jay earlier. And it came up on the guy viewer's guide. I didn't watch it, but it was something about Kool and the Gang and their role in influencing early hip-hop. And I was like, I never thought of that.
Listen to this. This is a classic right here. This is a classic, Jay. Misled. Oh, I love this song. My gosh.
I feel like we're being misled on this whole Mike Brown situation. The reporting from the likes of, as we mentioned, Sam Amick. Thanks for listening, Sam. And Anthony Slater, great piece in The Athletic about where the Kings are now. And there are some suggestions that, well, we could be at a crossroads here. More importantly, the Kings could be at a crossroads with Mike Brown. Next year is third year of his deal. Fourth year is a mutual option.
Yep.
And we're in the area where typically, correct me if I'm wrong, Drapes.
The year before.
You get an extension. A coach gets an extension.
Right.
Mike Brown, you'd think he would feel warranted in asking for a $10 million or more extension. We don't know how Vivek feels about that. So now there's some people wondering, all right, what kind of futures is Mike Brown here? And it's unfortunate. After
right.
I mean, what more can he do?
First of all, hold up. Sam's our guy. We know that. But did he really report anything? Or is he just speculating? Here's the thing.
In my opinion, some of these things.
Or you think he heard something, maybe?
You can't really cite people, but I don't think Sam and Slates, we've had them both on, we know them both. They don't just say, here's what I think. So.
Okay, you think maybe they heard it and, you know, have.
They are
and
excellent.
Just can't. Okay.
They're excellent reporters. I will say that.
Well, first of all, let me say this. $10 million a year for a coach. Is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're Greg Popovich.
It's a going rate, though.
It's the going rate, but I don't care if you're Eric Spoelstra, Monty Williams, Greg. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the price of doing business, apparently. And you're talking about a coach of the year. You're talking about a guy that led you to back-to-back 40-plus win seasons, 45-plus win seasons. And so I think if you look at it, I think Mike Brown is in a position of power right now.
I do too.
Because the one thing we know with this Kings organization that hasn't happened in the past is stability. Like, it's paramount to have stability right now. And so if I'm running the shop, I give Mike Brown the contract. I know it's hard to swallow $10 million, but it is what it is. It's the price of doing business. Monty McNair and Mike Brown have earned the opportunity to continue seeing this through. Dude, we've had two great years. I know this was a down year, disappointing year, maybe an underachieving year, but I don't think it's the coach's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mike Brown should be the fall guy for that. And we've seen in the past, Whitey, with this organization, getting rid of a coach that they probably shouldn't have.
The Kings have a legitimacy now that they haven't had in a long time. I'm guessing, and I don't know if you would agree or if you'd want to say, they have more legitimacy now than at any point they've had since you've been here.
Oh, 100%.
In terms of the perception around the
league. Right. I'll take you behind the curtain, if you will.
Yeah.
I've had other organizations' owners say, are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into here in Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
I've had other people say, man, that ownership group, Kyle, you sure about that? And I said, yes, I'm sure, and I'm here. The stability is here now.
Yes.
Vivek's doing a heck of a job. Monty's doing a heck of a job. Mike Brown. Like, any...
That's not all on Mike Brown, but he has a lot to do with it.
Well, you look at what Denver is doing. You know, we always compare them to Denver. Look at the stability they have. Michael Malone could have been ousted 4, 5, 6 years ago. Remember, he talked about this. We had Hastings. Like he was here. And that's the guy I was referring to. You let a guy go way too soon before for no reason. Now, Mike Brown has done a hell of a job. And here's the thing about Mike Brown. He's universally respected around the league. Other coaches rave about him. Other players rave about him. There's no way, zero chance, I'm going to say, Mike Brown is on the hot seat or his seat is getting warm. The dude has done a fantastic job. Think about this season. As disappointing as it was, it could have really came apart in the losses against Houston, all those bad losses. But Mike Brown kept this thing together, and he kept us having hope till the very end. We just didn't cash in on it.
Success has a price tag, according to The Athletic. Here's what some top coaches are getting now. And the market has been reset since Mike Brown signed his last deal. Steve Kerr, $17.5 million a year. Greg Popovich, $16 million. Monty Williams, $13 million. So you see that? That's just a...
So, all right. Where does Mike Brown fit in among those, though?
According to Sam and Anthony Slater, and I agree, it's fair to assume, considering reputation and resume, the offer would need to reach double-digit million annually. The other thing is it cuts both ways, does it not? You have next year is the only last, it's the last guaranteed year.
Yeah.
Then you have a mutual option.
Right.
So while the Kings are sitting there, if they let this go, Mike Brown also.
Mike could say,
yes.
Yeah. He could feel slighted and disrespected if you don't give him an extension. And he controls things after this season. And he probably will be a high candidate, I would imagine, in among other teams. I don't think there's, and this is, you know, we respect these guys and their reporting. $10 million is a lot, but I think ultimately you got to get it done with Mike Brown. Here's the thing. All the great franchises, you got to pay for it. If you want to be a championship, you can't be cheap. You can't be saving pennies and pinching pennies. You're not going to win that way. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks and what they've done. They got rid of a coach. They're paying Adrian Griffin. Now they're paying Doc Rivers. They brought in Dame Lillard. They gave Giannis $60 million a year. Like, it's the cost of doing business if you want to be a champion. Now, if you want to be the Florida Marlins or the Pittsburgh Pirates or something like that, then you're, you know, that's something else. But we're talking about winning the championship. You're going to have to invest in the product.
Sometimes, and I think this might have been the case in Milwaukee, you have a coach who's done a lot and then something goes sideways, you know, that loss last year, they needed a fall guy for that. But also, when you're a team like the Bucks, you have a guy in Giannis. Whatever you do, you got to keep him happy, right?
Right.
In Dallas, you got to keep Luka happy.
Yep.
I don't think there's any reason to suspect that the key players on the Kings have any issues with Mike Brown, right? There's no way. Like, De'Aaron Fox is a big deal coming up at some point. I don't think that he's unhappy with Coach Brown, where that would be an issue. That would be an impediment to signing.
Right.
Not an issue here.
No, that doesn't seem to be an issue. And by all accounts, all the guys like Mike Brown. Like, you look at Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, their best seasons of their career have come under Mike Brown. So Malik Monk, too, and I know Malik won't give him credit, but it is what it is. Your best seasons have come under Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there would be any problem with that.
Yeah. It's not that he's been perfect, of course. People are upset about the offense this year. And I think he's very sensitive to that criticism because he's pointed out, as we've mentioned, a meeting with the media is like, now you guys know we also practice offense. And the offense, well, let's face it, the half-court offense this year was at times, it was hard to watch.
Yes, it was. And, you know, I keep going back to the lack of diversifying the offense, lack of versatility. That is a problem, and I think that's something Mike and the staff have to address. You know, I'm looking at the coaching salaries. Nick Nurse is at $8 million. Jason Kidd is at $8 million. To me, that's where I think Mike Brown fits in at. So this $10 million number, that would make him the fifth highest paid coach in the league behind Kerr, Popovich, Spoelstra, Monty Williams. I think Mike is on the par with Nick Nurse, Jason Kidd, that kind of tier, that kind of level. So I would do 8, you know, maybe even 9 for inflation. And, you know, it's a new year. Yeah. Maybe you go up. So I don't think that.
You think 10's a little hot? 10 would get it
10's
done.
10's a lot. It would get it done. Right? It would get it done.
Mike Brown, yep, I'll do that.
But, you know, it's not my money. And if that's what it takes to keep Mike Brown, I would do it. Yes. Yes. But, you know, there's a segment of the fan base, Whitey, and I'd love to hear from them, 916-339-1140, who think Mike Brown's seat should be warm. I want to know why. Look at this roster. Look at the team. Look at the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. 46 wins. Yeah, if you want to blame him for Charlotte, if you want to blame him for Detroit, we can have that discussion. But he's the best coach we've had since Adelman.
Yeah.
In terms of success, why are we thinking about putting him on the hot seat? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's a fair question, though. Why did the Kings lose so many games they should have won? We're back with that as the Drive Guys roll on Sacktown Sports.
Definitely, yeah. It's hard to assess right now. You know, I was talking to some of the guys, like, it wasn't a bad season. You know, we were always up on a good note, on a high. You know, like, usually when you don't make the playoffs, you have a losing record or you're almost at 500, you know. So it definitely didn't feel that this way. So the fact that we're not in the postseason is definitely hard to swallow right now, so I can't really answer that.
Domas, you got to believe. Listen to Cher, who's back in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, although we all thought, isn't she in there like 7 times already? He's a solo artist, Sonny and Cher. And there's nothing like Cher with auto-tune, right? I mean, it does not get any better.
You know, I was listening to I Got You, Babe. That's a classic, man. I love that song.
Yeah.
I Got You, Babe. Oh, I love that song, man.
You and me have to do a version of that someday.
No. We're more of the odd couple, Felix and Oscar. You know what I mean? Oh, man.
What do you make of this in Howard Beck's piece in The Ringer?
Yeah.
He says, you know, we're just talking about Mike Brown, what a great job he's done. And there are some people that point out, well, there are some issues here. This is a rival scout talking about the Kings. It's all we know.
Yeah.
Quote, I just don't like the way they're built. They're running everything through Sabonis as if he was Jokic, but he's not Jokic. He's a hell of a player, but he can't shoot. So he can't really stretch the floor. It makes it a really static type of basketball.
Dang. Quote. Ouch, that hurts.
Anonymous scout.
That's tough to swallow because everything we do is being predicated off Domas pretty much.
Did you?
And if that scout makes a point, if he's not shooting, that doesn't open it up for everybody else. Now, if you got to pay attention to him, look at the way they guard Jokic on the perimeter versus the way they guard Sabonis. That's something Domas has to improve on this offseason. Mm-hmm. He has to knock down that shot. Because when Jokic gets the ball at the top of the circle, guys are pressed up on him. Then you got lanes opening up.
Yeah.
When Domas gets there, guys are sagging back.
Right.
Playing center field. Lanes. Yeah, the passing lanes.
We're standing and watching. Where's De'Aaron? Is he going to get
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. So
I think an adjustment is definitely necessary there.
Let me ask you this, though, because I hear you. But what is that adjustment? Is it making De'Aaron a more traditional point guard? Is it getting a more traditional point guard and moving De'Aaron off the ball? What is it? What's that adjustment? That's a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not dodging your question. I thought that there was an answer. May have answered that maybe they need to, more traditional point guard so that De'Aaron can play more off the ball.
How about just and this is something I've been saying for the last couple of years, and I think this is why Malik Monk, compared to where he's been, like the one thing he says kind of, I guess, transition to what I've been saying is he said it, Mike Brown has given me an opportunity to showcase what I can do. And for me, it's out of necessity. And that's ball handling. That's passing. That's being a point guard. And I think that's what the Kings need is another ball handler. They need someone that can come and create shots. And I've been saying that for the longest is, and, you know, we all know a 3-and-D guy is what everybody's looking for. We also know that, you know, a shot maker, a 3-point shooter is what everybody's looking for. But I think the look of someone who can create offense for the Sacramento Kings is something they also should be looking for. And I've said this a few times, like, De'Aaron is not, for me, for him to be the next step, and he said it today and we'll play it, he thinks he has another level to get to, and I agree with him. I think, and we talked about superstars versus all-stars, I think the one thing he lacks for a superstar is he doesn't make a lot of people better around him. When his superpower is getting to the mid-range, finishing, he's a shot maker. Like, he creates his own shot. I think he did a better job this year in assists, and, you know, he had good numbers, but there's something to still want when you see the Luka pass it from one side to the next side. And again, I know I'm asking, we talk about Magic Johnson on this show quite a bit, you know, Jason Kidd, guys like that. Those guys are one of a kind. I get that. But I think for him to be the superstar that we're looking for, he's got to kind of create a better a skill set in, you know, better passes, better assisting. I think he takes the easy assist. You know, and he does the spray three to kick out, but I don't never see De'Aaron like, ooh, my goodness, that was a heck of a pass. Like, you rarely see that from him.
I think it's true of a lot of the guys on the team, and I agree with you. I remember, you know, Jerry was telling me about when the Kings drafted Bobby Hurley, and John Stockton said, this guy passes for layups. You know, he's not just a good passer. He passes for layups. Obviously, things didn't work out for Bobby Hurley. But how many times you see this offense, just go back to Friday, the ball goes to Domas, defense sags off of him. All of a sudden, it's almost like the offense is moving backwards, like there's a dribble handoff. You know, and it's like, wait, there. You don't have those great passers that are able to they don't make passes that compromise the defense. They just like dribble handoff and throw this. So right. I think there's an issue with the half-court offense. I don't think they're great passers, but I think to me, it's all better shooting is the main thing. I think the offense, you have better shooting. You could not change anything else. Shoot the ball better. I think everything looks better.
And Drake, before you jump in, you know the simplest form of it is my soliloquy of this. They don't pass people open. They pass it to the open person. And then the NBA, you have to pass people open. Like we talk about a quarterback, Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. He'll take the easy shot. Purdy's next step is passing people open, getting the ball in tight, you know, tight zones. And I think that's De'Aaron. I think that's this team. They take the easy pass, but just like, you know, and Malik is probably the one who can pass someone open.
Kyle Draper's been very quiet.
Nah, because I'm digesting what Jay is saying, and I hear him. But then I also look at today's NBA, and the word traditional point guard sounds old school to me.
True.
Is Dame Lillard a traditional point guard?
No, he's a shoot first guy.
He's a bucket getter.
Yeah.
But he plays the point guard's position.
But he's never won.
But that's why I'm
saying.
Is
Jamal Murray a true point guard?
He's closer.
He's
closer.
Got a great passer.
But
on
he
his
plays
team.
With a. Yeah.
So maybe
he
still
that's what I'm saying.
De'Aaron.
It's Domas. Right. Like, I think when you have a guy like Domas, and maybe that's our problem. Maybe we run too much from Domas, and maybe like the scout said, we're asking him to be Jokic, but he doesn't have the jumper
he's
like Jokic.
He's a good passer. Not, yeah.
But
yeah.
But those passing lanes for Domas, look at the way Jokic passes and where his passes, Jokic, are usually going towards the basket.
Exactly. That's what
Domas
I said.
Passes are usually going
out.
Back out to
yes.
the three
yes.
because we don't – Exactly. His assists aren't coming from guys cutting to the basket, getting layups, Jay, like you were talking about earlier, and Whitey. And so maybe if we rejiggered everything, let's take Domas out of the equation. Could De'Aaron Fox be that 9-10 assists per game point guard, Jay? That's the question.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out
Very
what we
true.
Want our offense to look like.
3-3-9. Yeah, go ahead.
But no, I would say this, Drapes, and this is the thing. De'Aaron's going on year 8. Seven?
Yeah.
Right, eight. Look, you can develop. You never stop learning. Like, I'm a true believer. If you sit back and close your mouth, you can learn from a baby, right? With that being said, just kind of the same thing we're talking about Keegan, this year 8. Like, there's some things he has to fine-tune, totally understand. But sometimes you're just not going to get, you know, you're not going to be the greatest or the best at certain things. What I'm saying with De'Aaron is for the superstardom, I think we know that he's not Jason Kidd. I think we know, like you said, I guess if we want to call it more traditional, and that's okay, But like SGA is not traditional. Some of the top point guards aren't, but they also do a better job of passing guys open. But like De'Aaron's superpower is himself.
I hear you, Jay. Shea averaged 6.2 assists.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox, 5.6.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Only 0.6 difference. And De'Aaron played with Domas. You see what I'm saying? So Domas was the lead guy. De'Aaron, as the secondary guy, still averaged 5.6. So I do think if we put the ball in De'Aaron's hands more, he could be that guy.
But he had it prior to Domas, and his numbers weren't high.
He was playing with bums, though, Jay. Come on, he was playing with guys that aren't even in the G League right now.
Wait a minute. Don't disrespect Garrett Temple like that.
All right, Garrett's my guy. I love Garrett Temple.
Don't disrespect GT
like that. You're right.
Let's go to Larry here. Larry, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Larry, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
Oh, hey, love your guys' show. I think they should keep Mike Brown, do whatever they could take, whatever it takes to keep him. I think he would be in it for the long run. I became a Kings fan last year. I hadn't watched basketball. I'm 60-something here. I haven't watched basketball in a number of years. But I became a Kings fan, and it's really awesome to watch the team, and I wasn't too disappointed.
Gotcha, Larry. Thanks for checking in. We
appreciate that.
That,
Larry.
Yeah. How about this? Again, this is from the Athletic piece. The question was, it was a disappointing year. Is there at least a level of stability developing? Pardon me. A level of stability developing. One veteran, we don't know who, said, yeah, because we're not going to let go of our front office and we're not going to fire our coaching staff. Mm. In Sacramento, that's a pretty big deal.
There you go. That really is a big deal.
Yes.
Like, this is only year two that we completed of Mike Brown. Let me go back and look at the Denver Nuggets and Michael Malone.
Do you know, by the way, and this is, I'm giving you credit here, you always talk about them as a comparison. Did you know that the organization has been looking at Denver as a team they kind of want to model themselves after for a while now?
Yeah, I've been saying that. You think I'd just be making this stuff up?
No, I thought you were making an observation.
No.
And you were just, the team was thinking right along with you.
No, it's clear that's what, I know Monty McNair. I know his vision. And it's, let's look at Michael Malone. We talked about
every
this.
Every time I try to compliment him, I insult him.
No, because you're doubting me, dude. You know what I'm saying? Michael Malone's second year in Denver, Jay. 40-42.
Get him out of here.
40-42.
Fire him.
Come on, man. Mike Brown just won 46 games. That's what Michael Malone won in his third year. Then he went up to 54. So, and then that's when they lost in the Western Conference semis. Then they got the injuries and everything. This is a critical year for Mike, for Monty, for Keegan. Like, this upcoming year, I get it. The excuse this year, the shooting was worse. The West got tougher. We ran it back.
Injuries.
You can't use that next year, though. We can't have another year of, oh, the West got tougher. Oh, the shots didn't fall. Oh, we didn't do anything at the trade deadline. We gave it to you this year, and it was understandable. But next year, we got to see some improvement.
Fellas, but and I know you guys have to entertain it. That's not a Mike Brown thing, though. Like, if there's anything in – you know, I can understand the injuries. I can understand the Monty McNair not busting no moves, doing things like that. Mike Brown should not be under any type of smoke, fire, gun, hot seat. Like, Mike Brown's done everything he possibly can do to change this, and it has. If you want to talk about changes in the West, and that's not a Mike Brown thing.
Right.
Mike Brown's not on the phone with other GMs.
But you know,
that's a Monty McNair situation.
If you were Vivek and you looked at it, one thing that would trouble you is, how many times did they not show up against bad teams? And Kyle has pointed out, every team does that some, but nobody did it as much as the Kings this year.
But he's going to almost go back-to-back 50-win seasons.
There's no almost 50.
It is almost 50. A couple of games?
Jay, you missed the playoffs, though. That's the thing.
But I get it.
If we were giving Mike Brown a grade, last year we gave him an A++. What are we giving him this year?
B.
A B, maybe a B minus, but definitely
B minus,
B.
Right. Yeah. It was okay. Did all right.
Uh-huh.
But it has to be better next year, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have those same losses next year. It is what it is.
But we're going to do that. We have all season. Just right now, Monday after this season,
if we're
labeling the reason why this Kings team didn't accomplish whatever they wanted to accomplish, Mike Brown's not in the top five. Can we agree to that?
Yes. What will we say, Jay? Roster shortcomings? Yes.
That's my first one. Is Monty didn't get off his hands.
Yeah.
This team, we knew this team wasn't that good as constructed because of what we had already seen. Like, to me, the first part is Monty didn't move. That's my first part.
Yeah.
But Mike Brown wouldn't even be in my top five.
I agree. Real quick, guys, I'll push back on that because this team was good enough to beat Charlotte, was good enough to beat Portland, was good enough to beat Washington, right?
Yes.
They should have, like, and so as bad as the roster was or the lack of construction, whatever it was, they still should have won those games. They still had an 18-point lead in Phoenix, 22 against Milwaukee. Like,
we'll tell you what Harrison Barnes had to say about those losses when we come right back on this consequential Monday Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's true. You got me.
This is for Coach Mike Brown. We got you, Coach. We got you, Coach. Drive, guys, here. Hey, for those of you on the radio, sorry you wouldn't be able to see this, but watching on YouTube, this was on the floor here right behind the microphone. Harrison Barnes, I'm not standing for the slander, but the thing is, Drapes, I want to put HB back up there. There's only three slots that are on the camera. You got De'Aaron, you got Domas. He would have to go over Malik, right, until we know what Malik's status is. Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
No, we recruit Malik. We still need him.
I know. You can't squeeze him in the corner over there? Like, way over there? You're going to have to, like, Domas got a little too much.
Here?
Yeah, there you go. All right. Is he in the shot?
I don't know that he is, but.
You can see the ball. You know.
All right.
See the top of his scap.
Oh, yeah. Jay, did you create a poll? Was that you?
No.
Somebody created a poll.
That's our digital team.
Oh, Joe and them. Who is on the hot seat with the Kings? Mike Brown? Monty McNair? Neither? Both. So on Sacktown Sports 1140 YouTube page, you can watch us live and vote.
None of them should be.
I'd have to go neither.
Neither. I don't think so.
It's a fair question
right
now.
Yeah. I just voted.
It's a fair question. By the way, earlier we were talking about the offense and point guards, and I was looking for some. I finally found it. It's in that Ringer piece by Howard Beck, which they quote Carmichael Dave, but it's still a pretty good piece despite that.
Oh, darn. Okay.
Yeah. And he talked to this scout. I mentioned this anonymous scout that said, I don't really like the way they're built. This anonymous scout says the Kings need a more traditional point guard next to Fox rather than a shooter to allow him to thrive more off the ball. Anonymous scout.
Malik Monk.
Throw Malik in the starting lineup as your starting point?
He could do worse. Did you see what Orlando's guards did yesterday? And this has to do with Malik.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Malik's a good shooter. A team like Orlando, they would be looking at a guy like Malik, right? So Orlando lost the opener to Cleveland. And I think this actually was Saturday. Sorry.
Saturday.
Suggs and Harris combined to go 4-for-22. They're starting guards. 1-for-12 beyond the arc. Anthony and Fultz off the bench were 0-for-7. So their four guards in a loss to Cleveland were 4-for-29, 1-for-16 beyond the three-point line.
Mm.
You don't think a team like that would look at Malik and go, wow, that guy can help us, right?
Yeah.
That scares me.
I mean, it does.
Because they got cap space.
They got cap space. They're a young, up-and-coming team. I think they'd give Malik the ball, turn it over to him.
Yep.
No, you're right. And, you know, and I know Malik spoke earlier today. We'll hear from him coming up in just a little bit. But, you know, it's going to be tough to keep him. And I will say this, too, regarding Howard Beck's article and Malik's fit, whether he should be the starting point guard. To me, that would indicate a revamping of the offense, which I'm okay with if that's the case. But we don't need a traditional point guard if you're still running the same offense through Domas. Like, think about this. Let's think of Rajon Rondo. His strength is with the ball in his hands. If you're going to take the ball out of his hands, you don't need him.
And that's what we have in Domantas Sabonis. Now, if you want to tell me we're going to run a different offense, okay, then you need that traditional point guard. I think Mike Brown has some decisions to make this offseason about the direction of this offense. You look at the Golden State Warriors. That's who they're trying to model their offense. Yeah. Do they have a traditional point guard?
No.
Exactly. You don't need a traditional point guard if you're running this offense.
They used to run their offense through Bogut.
Exactly. Passing big man. Draymond, passing big man. And so you, if you get a traditional point guard, you're changing the offense. Because then, for instance, look at Chris Paul in Golden State. He was coming off the bench.
And people said that he slowed things down.
Slowed things down.
Great, great point guard, right?
Yes. Right. That's what I'm saying. If you bring a, let's say, Chris Paul, traditional point guard, you're not going to still run your offense through Domas. You're changing your offense. You need that guy.
You want Chris Paul, huh?
No, thanks.
I don't think they can.
I like CP3, Hall of Fame career, but not at this stage. Not right now. Because here's the thing, too, White. To your point earlier, you need some shooting. We got to add that.
Yep.
You know, and if you can't space the floor, it doesn't matter what you have in today's NBA.
So we all agree, at least in here, Mike Brown's done a great job. Well, then how come the Kings had so many games where they should have won? We all thought they should have won, and they lost. Harrison Barnes, I know I mentioned this much earlier. Yep. Harrison Barnes said this to Anthony Slater. We had games we didn't show up. Games where we didn't have the right approach. Stack those up and you look at where things finish. If we could have had three or four more wins, five more wins, where would we be?
Yep.
That's Harrison Barnes saying that we didn't have the right approach. Mm. Why not? That's the big question. Maybe that's the type of thing that led to the team meeting.
Right.
And sure, some of that is on a coach, but it's not all necessarily on a coach if you have guys who don't bring the right attitude into games.
Yeah, and this is something we've talked about before. And Jay, I'll have you chime in on this. Who's the leader of this team on the court?
Malik Monk, for me.
Malik.
Mm-hmm. When he's not out there. I think it's De'Aaron. It's got to be De'Aaron.
I'd say Domas.
See, the fact that we're even questioning.
Yes.
At this
point. It's a problem, right?
Who's it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because the coach can only do so much. And so HB talking about the right mindset or didn't that, whatever it may be.
The right approach.
Right approach. To me, that's not a coaching problem. That's a player problem.
Now, it's something that a coach has to recognize and address.
And hold accountable, yes. But it should be on players, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in some of these meetings where the guys have acknowledged that they play down to the level of competition. They know this, they've talked about this, and they never corrected it. Whose problem is that? What's Mike Brown supposed to do? Bench De'Aaron Fox? Bench Domas? Like,
well, you wonder if that's why sometimes a rotation was so uneven.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he's seen, well, that guy's not bringing it against this.
I don't know, but to me, it was more of a player problem and not necessarily even a talent. It's just the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You look at New Orleans, their makeup, their DNA, the way they walk around is different. The way they walk into a building is different. They're coming in as the aggressors. We don't go into games as the aggressor. We counterpunch, and sometimes it's too late.
Yeah, except, and I agree with you, but you know that's what's so maddening. Then you have a game like we had last week against the Warriors where, like, bam!
Bam!
Like,
right,
whoa!
Right, right. We were ready for that game.
And then where did it go?
Yeah, you're right.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Adam on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Adam. Thanks for hanging. What's up?
Hey, I self-admitted Lakers fan, but I love the Kings. Went to school here and live here. I think if you guys get rid of Mike Brown, it's as ugly as when you got rid of Adelman, getting tired of only going to the playoffs. But listen, guys, I think we need to be asking the right question here. The Kings should represent the city. Where are our dogs? Where's our blue-collar workers on this team? I want to see someone that Zion might even be afraid to go up against that we get either through a draft pick or a trade. I'd love to see this team be more exciting because I think our area is more exciting when the Kings are hot. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. All right. And by the way, I don't think anyone in any of these articles is suggesting Mike Brown's gone. They're going to fire him.
Right.
It's just a matter of, well, wait, are they going to, is he going to be here long term?
Right. Are they going to extend him or what?
Yeah. But as far as addressing that roster-wise, that need for more aggressive players, I think that's got to be on the list of Monty's to-do list, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
It has to be. And there's one guy who's a free agent that I want to bring up. I'll do it after the timeout. How about that?
How about that?
I got a guy for
us. He's got the pause and then...
You like that?
I got that coming up for you. Drive guys. Kyle Draper says he has for us a free agent that could add the dog element to the Kings roster. Before we get to that.
Yes.
I want to share something. You know, we've been talking a lot about this piece in The Athletic today. Sam Amick. And
hey, wait, fellas, give Mary her Hall of Fame.
I know. Why are you just skipping over MJB?
Real love. 2024 Hall of Fame rock and roll inductee.
I'm talking about a real love. Yeah.
So is that the whole class? Mary J. Blige, Kool and the Gang, Tribe Called Quest, Foreigner, Cher, and Dave Matthews Band?
Peter Frampton.
Peter Frampton, that's Frampton, right.
Yep.
That's
right. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. So he must be going in, you know, solo.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard Ozzy Osbourne singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Cubs game?
I feel like I have seen
it. Yes, I have.
Let's go out to the driveway. It's like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right, so congratulations to all. Anyway, you've been kind of saying, hey, do we really know where this thing is with front office and Mike Brown? Mm. Here's what they report. Quote, team sources say there's been a wait-and-see approach from the ownership side to this point, with a feeling from those around the franchise that singular results, the huge win over the Warriors, the gut punch loss to the Pelicans, could weigh heavily in future decision-making. And then a little bit of opinion here. That's a dangerous game to play. Rana Dive has not yet approached Brown with an extension offer. Both sides have known for months now that this discussion was nearing about the outcome, but the outcome of it will set the tone for the next Kings season to come. Without a resolution, it has a chance to become a distraction, end quote. So that's where we are. Yeah.
I believe something will get done, though. I can't see any reason not to extend Mike Brown. He's done a phenomenal job. He stabilized the organization because even before Mike got here, let's not forget, Monty was still here. Monty was here before Mike. Had Luke Walton, had Alvin Gentry. You know, it wasn't stable.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Mike stabilized this organization. And so hopefully Vivek takes care of him and gets this done.
Yes. What free agent do you have for us here?
All right, this isn't earth-shattering or anything.
Can I get this guy to my mid-level? Because that's about all I got to work with.
You don't even have to use all of it. You can use partial mid-level.
Okay.
And we talked about moving De'Aaron Fox off the ball, right?
Uh-huh.
We talked about him, you know. Patrick Beverley.
Sign me up.
Asking him to come in. Well, tell me why not.
Patrick Beverley, to me, is a piece that a team that's like really close to being really good would add, and he can give you that extra ingredient to take you from a team that's got a lot of talent to maybe being able to stare down the biggest and baddest teams in the league. To me right now, I'm not at a stage where he's going to help me that much. And he's not a long-term fit, he's short-term.
I feel like we got to change the DNA of this team somehow, though. How do we change the DNA? It's not just about acquiring shooters. It's not just about acquiring 3-and-D guys. We talked about some dogs.
Yeah.
Give me a list of dogs.
Marshall's all I got for you so far.
And I like Najee.
Yeah.
Why not Najee and Patrick Beverley? You may not have to give Najee the whole mid-level, the $12 million. Give him partial, you know, part of the mid-level.
Am I good enough as a team to where Patrick Beverley helps me? That's my question.
He's a piece. He's not the only piece.
But how much longer is he? I mean, to me, he's a short-term fix on a really good team.
Because I don't see the long-term fix from a dog standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I need somebody to inject some dog into this DNA here with Sacramento Kings.
I agree with that.
And I don't know. I looked at the list of free agents. I'll pull them out again and go down one by one more time. Who's that guy that can and have a major impact too? Like when Patrick Beverley walks into the room, everybody knows. Najee Marshall's not like that. Good player, has a little edge, but he's not like that. I don't know who else is on that list.
Sam Hauser.
How about this? And I look
as Hauser a shooter.
And Herder. Look out. Boom, boom, boom.
I got another guy for you, too. And this plays, he plays with Sam Hauser. Xavier Tillman.
He's a good, solid backup, tough, hard-nosed player, but I need more talent than that.
What do you give me some names then, Whitey? This is the problem. The Kings
Isaac
are stuck.
Isaac Okoro. Now he's a restricted free agent.
Restricted.
Yeah. So
we can't offer him a lot of money. Yeah,
right.
We can't offer him that.
He's
money.
Only at, I think he's only making like 8 or 9.
Because he's on his rookie deal.
Yeah, I know.
We can't, a restricted free agent? So you don't think Cleveland would match a $12 million? That's nothing.
Well, there's been a lot of talk that they may not want to. So I don't know.
Okay. All right.
And that's also a good chance that if they don't, that someone's going to give more than 12.9.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking.
Sean Tate. Now, I'm not saying he's a dog, but he's upgrade you talent wise. And Xavier Tillman is a really good player, but I'm nowhere near good enough. Where, all right, that's it. We got Xavier Tillman. We're set.
Nobody's saying that. Who's saying that? Well, I'm saying you got to add the side items, the pieces, the extra seasoning on the side.
That's where I disagree. I don't think they're good enough to do that yet. I think they need to add more of the main pieces.
Okay, let's talk about main pieces, because Isaac Okoro is not that. Is it Jeremy Grant then? Make a trade for Jeremy Grant.
Then we're talking big trade. Huge trade.
I don't think you can get any main pieces as a free agent.
Probably not.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Now you're talking a huge trade.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Dave! Thanks for hanging, Dave. You're on with Drapes.
Gleason. Hey, guys.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, you know, if the Kings were 15th in free throws, they would have won 8 more games.
Really?
Yeah.
They ended up dead last, right, Dave? Dead last?
They were dead last.
Yeah.
They were dead last. If you are in the middle of the pack, you're winning 53 games.
Wow.
And you're in the playoffs, you're number 5 or number 4. There's a couple adjustments. And I want to see Keegan, and I want to see a couple of the other guys start playing angry. When you come to the rim, you've got to come there with bad intentions. He gets blocked too easy.
Thank you, Dave. He's just, I think it's accurate to say, the consensus is right now, he's not a good finisher. Keegan, we've seen him, you know, at times we've seen dunks, we've seen drives, but he just had one a few games ago where he drove and the ball just flew out of his hand. I think even De'Aaron Fox is on record as saying after last year, like, yeah, he's got to work on that.
Yeah, so, no doubt. He has to work on that. And that's why this offseason is so important to him. I mean, we're looking for this magic wand to fix this team. And I don't think it's one pill or anything like that. I think it's going to take a series of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think when you look at what the Kings have, and the same thing going into last season, can Keegan Murray be that bona fide number 2? That's the question we don't have the answer to.
Right.
And are we okay with waiting to see that another year? Because what you're telling me, upgrading the high-level talent.
No, hold on. I'm not necessarily saying that you have to make that big trade now. I'm saying getting a veteran piece in short-term who helps me, I don't think I'm good enough to do that. I could get better players now if I can get somebody through the draft who can shoot, who's got upside, who has a future, that helps me. If I can get a good player, going to be a rotational player through free agency, that helps me. I'm not saying, all right now I'm set, but I need pieces that are going to help me in the next few years as I'm building towards that. The guys you mentioned,
Tillman doesn't.
Wrong.
Tillman doesn't?
Tillman's a back, and I like him, but he's a backup.
He's a depth guy.
I don't think I'm good enough. I think he's way down on my list.
All right, so I think
my needs are greater.
Well,
than
let's have the conversation all. Then.
Yeah.
What positions are we looking at? Because you're talking about starters, right? You're talking about guys that could
rotation,
come in and start.
Not necessarily.
Well, Tillman's a rotation guy.
Mm-hmm.
You just poo-pooed Tillman because he's a bench guy. He's a rotation guy.
He's a backup big, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rotation.
I need wings. I need 3-and-D wings, and I need shooting.
Give me some people. Give me.
I'm giving you, and every time I give you, I mean,
they don't move the needle enough, man.
Well, we agree on what, $12.9 million at your...
Najee Marshall. We agree on that or
no?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm a Najee Marshall guy.
All right. We'll continue to figure this out. We'll get back to the phones when we come back. Was this season, as De'Aaron Fox says, something to build on? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.